Translation. As the women thus talked among themselves, and the men among themselves, a number of great sages arrived there, all of them eager to see Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram. They included Vaidyan, Narada, Chavan, Devala, Nasita, Vishvamitra, Satananda, Bharadvaj, and Gautama, Lord Parashuram and his disciples, the sister, Galava, Bhrigu, Pulasya, and Kashyapa, Atri, Markandeya, and Brihaspati, Narita, Trita, Ekata, and the four Kumaras, and Angira, Agastya, Yajnavalkya, and Vamadeva, number 6. Tantrista Sahostaya Kagasinna Vipalaya Pandava Krishna Ramocha Panemo Visha Vanditam. As soon as they saw the sages approaching, the kings and other gentlemen who had been seated immediately stood up, including the Pandava brothers and Krishna and Balaram. Then they all then bowed down to the sages who were honored throughout the universe. Tanayochur Tasare Sahara Mochito Vichaya Sogatasana Padyankya Malya Dupanali. Lord Krishna, Lord Balaram, and the other kings and leaders properly worship the sages by offering them words of greeting, sitting places, water for washing their feet, drinking water, flower garlands, incense, and sandalwood paste. Uvacha sukama sinam bhagavandana guttanu tadasasthasya mahato ito vacha Nisrindataha. After the sages were comfortably seated, the Supreme Lord Krishna, whose transcendental body protects religious principles, addressed them in the midst of that great assembly. Everyone listened silently with rapt attention. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Aho Vayam Janna Vritcho Labdram Tasmina Tatphalam Devanam Api Dushprapam Yad Yogeshwara Darshanam. The Supreme Lord said, "Now our lives are indeed successful, for we have obtained life's ultimate goal. The audience of great yoga masters, which even demigods only rarely obtain." Purport. Despite the great privileges that demigods enjoy as administrators of the universe, they rarely see such sages as Narada and Vyasadeva. How much rarer, then, must it be for the earthly kings and mere cowherds to see them? Here, Lord Krishna, identifying himself with all the kings and others who assembled at Samantha Pantika, speaks on their behalf. So here, Krishna is teaching by his example here how to worship, how to respect saintly people. Because people have forgotten how to respect saintly people. In this modern day and age, of course, people don't even think that there are saintly people. And if they believe that there may be some saintly people, generally they take some rascals as a saintly person. And there's really no knowledge at all, especially in this age of Kali. But even 5,000 years ago, we see that Krishna felt that it was, what to speak of today, even 5,000 years ago, Krishna took every opportunity, and this of course is one of the key incidences in the Srimad Bhagavatam, as an example, where Krishna does show how to respect saintly people. We see the example of Ramaharsha, who failed to offer due respect when Lord Balaram, of course, is the supreme saintly person, appeared, and therefore he was severely chastised. So, even in this ancient time, when Vedic culture was flourishing, still Krishna thought it necessary to show. So they're actually here. Well, it's not distinctly clear, but there are actually four principles of how to offer respect to a saintly person. Actually, there's one verse in the Skanda Purana that says that if someone fails to offer proper respect to a saintly person and that saintly person appears, then the Lord will refuse to accept their puja for 12 years. Sorry. So, very, very serious. Of course, someone may think, particularly the neophyte devotees, they feel that if they are worshipping the Lord, then it doesn't matter how they treat other people, because they feel I'm worshipping God and therefore I am doing the proper thing. But actually, deity worship has different components, of which one of the most important components, one of the very important components of deity worship is called Svadhyaya. Svadhyaya, of course, in a general sense, means studying the Shastras. But in a more specific sense, it means implementing what we are studying in the Shastras. And there are, therefore, aspects of Svadhyaya, this aspect of deity worship, are worshipping the saints and Vaishnavas, worshipping Tulsi, then you have Om Prasada, studying the scriptures of course, hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord and the glories of the Lord, offering, welcoming and looking after visitors, unexpected guests to come for one's home, that's also Sada, how one treats other living entities. Because if there's one sloka, one verse that Lord Hill says that if someone worships the deities, the form of the Lord that actually envious of other living entities, then the Lord won't accept their worship. So they may, offer so much, be waving, the deity with the chamber, and, bringing so many things. But as they go out of the temple room, and, they're purposely envious of other living entities, and we're just talking about ants, dogs, any trees, what to speak of cows, what to speak of humans, what to speak of saints and persons, what to speak of Vaishnavas. If someone envies others, then that worship of the deities becomes impotent. So these are different aspects of deity worship. So especially to if someone doesn't show due respect to the Vaishnavas, that worship is not of a very high quality, and it doesn't produce a high quality result. Jagadananda Pandit, he is an incarnation of Satchidananda, and he is present in his form, Satchidananda, on the Kurukshetra, one of Krishna's 16,100 queens. But in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he appears as Jagadananda Pandit, and he wrote Pramodavata, which is the essence of the conversation between Sri Damodara and Raghunath Dasa Goswami. So very, very elevated, essential Vaishnava instructions which cannot be ignored. And so he said that all Vaishnavas, they follow the principles of Varnashramdharma, especially in the beginning stages, is very important, and at the same time they cultivate chanting the holy names of the Lord. All Vaishnavas do that, so you have Brahmacharyas, Grihasthas, Varnaprasthas, Sannyasis, you have Brahmas, Kshatriyas, Vaishnavas, and Hindus. And they're all following the Varnashram to please the Supreme Lord, and at the same time chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and hearing the chanting of the glories of the Lord. So these are common themes for all Vaishnavas. Gradually, as they are doing that, they develop some bandhyan, which means that they gradually, by worshipping the Lord, especially deity worship, which is worshipping the form of the Lord within one's home, within the temples, is very prominent
in Banacham, Devi Banacham. By that deity worship, it actually allows one to develop all good qualities, and it also manifests the proper understanding. Gradually, a person becomes Krishna conscious. They gradually understand how everything can be used in the service of the Lord. That is the beauty of deity worship. When people come to the temple and they have no idea of Krishna consciousness, no idea of how to serve God, but then gradually, because the deities are there, then they begin to see, oh, you can offer God something. So they'll bring a flower, and they'll bring some, you know, some fruit and some milk, and they even do a little service. And then gradually, as they perform that service, it sort of slowly dawns on them that everything actually belongs to the Lord, and everything actually has a relationship with the Lord, who is present in his deity form. So this sambandhyan naturally develops as a result of deity worship. And of course, another aspect of deity worship is that deity worship is performed in the association of saints and devotees, and particularly in the form of the Lord Krishna. And by that association, they also develop the sambandhyana. So as that sambandhyana develops, the sentiments of love and devotion begin to manifest when that sambandhyana matures. So in the beginning, there may be some obligatory sense of offering things to the Lord, but then a personal relationship of love and devotion begins to develop, and when that becomes fully mature, of course, that turns into love of God. So, from deity worship, Srila Rupa Goswami has said that there are five principles which are very, very powerful, of which deity worship is one. That is so powerful that they can produce symptoms of dhava even in a beginner, a neophyte. Of course, the others are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associated with devotees, wisdom and deities, chanting Hare Krishna, and residing in a holy dhamma. So those things, according to Dagadananda Pandit, are all similar. They're all Vaishnavas. That process. All Vaishnavas do that. But there are some differences. Because generally, there are two types. Two statuses of Vaishnavas, not statuses, two occupations. Some are sort of in the renounced ashram and some are in the grihastha ashram. Now, Jagadananda Pandit says that if someone distinguishes between Vaishnavas in the grihastha ashram as being inferior, and he says that person is not a Vaishnava, and their service to Krishna is again impotent. Which is interesting, because in Radha Damodara Swami's zone in India, I've heard that they have one of the best Brahmachari ashrams in the world, very, very staunch. And yet, he has a rule that if he hears that anyone in the Brahmachari ashram is making a derogatory remark towards someone in the Grihastha ashram, they have to leave the ashram. I think they get one chance. Maybe one. The second time, very, very strict. Because, you know, this is Vaishnava Siddhanta coming from the highest level. Should be very, very careful, you make that point. How do we distinguish them? Later in this verse, later in this chapter, in a couple of verses, there's a sloka which Srila Prabhupada quotes many, many, many times. I won't leave you in suspense. But it's on the same thing. that we should be very careful distinguishing Vaishnavas according to their external material situation. Very, very dangerous and very offensive. So, how do we distinguish Vaishnavas? Because Vaishnavas, they can be distinguished according to their different levels of advancement. And there are generally there are three types of three levels. Actually, Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur says that there are generally two types of Vaishnavas. He says there are ordinary Vaishnavas and transcendental Vaishnavas. So, amongst the ordinary Vaishnavas, he says ordinary Vaishnavas are those they sometimes you see it in the past, a lot of people come to a Sunday feast. They sort of believe in Krishna, but they don't follow anything. They don't follow anything. They feel that they've got an extra couple of cigarettes that day, and all those Krishna blessing. They really have no idea. So they're sort of, ordinary ones. You get those, especially in India, we see who actually come in Vaishnava families. But again, they don't follow anything. Some of them may have even accepted a guru through family tradition, a Vaishnava guru, but again, they don't follow anything. They don't follow practices. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda, of course, says that they're ordinary Vaishnavas. Whereas Srila Bhaktivedanta, Swami has the garden variety. But the other type of Vaishnavas are the transcendental Vaishnavas, of which you have Kanishka, Madhyam, and Uttama. Because they are actually, even from the Kanishka platform, attempting, they have faith in Krishna to some degree or another, and they're all attempting to follow, of course, the Madhyam and the Uttama are following very strictly, but even on the Kanishka platform, they're attempting to follow very, very carefully the Vaishnava principles. So, they can be distinguished according to how to distinguish who is Kanishka, who is Madhyama, who is Uttama Adhikari. Three different things generally, by their chanting, by their faith, and by their realization. So this is very, very important to know these things, because as described, sometimes you hear things and you can see, even in a temple like this, and of course if you go to other temples and other places, and even devotees who are well read and even been around for a long time and actively engaged still have this dangerous mentality of seeing other Vaishnavas in a material way, in an external way, and it is very, very detrimental. We have to look at Vaishnavas according to these criteria which are there within the Shastras according to the scripture. and according to Guru and according to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, according to the chanting, generally, a Kanishtha Adhikari tries to chant. They try very hard. It's a bit of a struggle. The Madhyama Adhikari, they're accustomed to chanting, and they like it. The Uttama Adhikari, just being in their presence makes someone chant Hare Krishna. It's just the whole name is uses the pores of their skin. Then, according to faith, the Kanishtha Adhikari, they have, their faith is very pliable and they have no real, Shastric background, and they sort of waver a lot. The Madhyama Adhikari, their faith is strong, they're fixed, but still they're not necessarily shastrically strong. But the Uttama Adhikari, their faith is unshakable, and they by logic and reason, they have very, very, they don't have blind faith because by logic and reason, based on Shastra, they're very, very firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness. And then by realization, again, the Kanishtha Adhikari, their realization, they can understand the Supreme Lord, but they have difficulty, understanding how, fully how everything is related to the Lord, and therefore, of course, they cannot understand. The various Vaishnavas and the dealings of the Vaishnavas, they quite often neglect Vaishnavas. Actually, that's the symptom of a Kanishtha Adhikari. To actually neglect those who are Vaishnavas and not know how to deal with them, even though one may appear to be very advanced, is actually the symptom of a Kanishtha Adhikari. Even one may be, they're quite, apparently quite elevated. Srila Prabhupada, when he was a Grihastha, his godbrothers, not all, but some, in the Sannyas order, would speak of him as, he's just a Grihastha. Which is, unbelievable when you think about it. They sort of refer to him in sort of derogatory terms. Srila Prabhupada, he said that my spiritual master created an army of sannyasis, and he sent them to the Western world to preach, and they came back empty handed. He said, I've created an army of grihasthas, and I have sent them all over the world, and they are opening temples all over the world. And all the grihasthas and all the devotees and all the brahmacharis and all the sannyasis, jai Srila Prabhupada. But, sometimes that Kanishtha mentality can, enter. Now, the Madhyama Adhikari, their realization is more solid. They can actually appreciate who is the Supreme Lord, who are the Vaishnavas, who are those that they make friends with, the devotees, who are the innocents, who they should, try to help become devotees, to become Krishna conscious, and who are the envious. They can recognize all of those. And the Uttama Adhikari, of course, their realization is that they see Krishna within everything. Wherever they look, they just see Krishna. Within the atom, they see a flower, they see Krishna, somehow it reminds them of Krishna. So they're just seeing Krishna everywhere. A mandala, a table, a tree, anything. The sky, the clouds, the bumblebee, everything. Oh, see, that reminds me of Krishna. It reminds me of Radharani talking about me. And they see everything within Krishna. They understand that everything is Krishna's energy. So, in this way, they just completely absorb in Krishna. And they see everyone, therefore, because they see everything in relationship with Krishna, they actually see everyone as serving Krishna. But in order to come down to the preaching platform, they come down to the platform of the Madhyamika. There are no, regulative principles for offering respect for Uddama Adhikari. For a Kanishka Adhikari, their regulative principle for learning respect is to take full shelter of the spiritual master. Because they can't recognize who are the Vaishnavas and how to deal with them, just take shelter of the spiritual master, and that will save one from creating offenses. That's their regulative principle for the Kanishka. For the Madhyama Adhikari, their regulative principle is to serve the Lord, make friendships with the devotees, help the innocent become Krishna conscious, avoid the envious, in this way, that is their regulative principle. For the Uddama Adhikari, they don't really have a regulative principle like that because they see everything in relationship to Krishna. They offer respect to everything and everyone, automatically. No need for regular principles. So, according to these principles, of course we can, that's how we should, see Vaishnavas. That's how we should see ourselves, and that's how we should see others, that's how we should see other living entities. In this way, not some external condition, that is a woman Vaishnava, that is a man Vaishnava, that is a guru Asta, Brahmachari. These are all external, they have nothing to do with the transcendental situation of the Vaishnava. So, here, all saints, what to speak of Vaishnavas who are considered to be the best, as Krishna says in the sixth chapter. That all the different yogis, one is always fixed in Krishna consciousness. They're the most intimately united with them. They're very, very Krishna considered them the topmost. So, but Krishna is showing here, even though at the Battle of Kurukshetra, the gopis are there, they're the topmost devotees. And Krishna's queen, Shanti, the cowherd boys, Nanda, and so many exalted Vaishnavas. No one is superior to them. They're the best, most saintly personalities. Just absolutely fixed in God in pure love. No one can be more saintly than that. What is saintly? Saintly is not an artificial show of humility or, what clothes you're wearing or what have you. Saintly is God consciousness. And how you act according to that God consciousness. And there is no one more absorbed in God, in his topmost feature, in pure love, than the Vrajavasis. But still, to show how to honour, all saintly people in general, Krishna is, showing by his personal example. And there are four different principles, as I begin, but there are four principles. One, reception. When you see here Krishna does that, they describe that when they saw them from a distance. When they saw them from a distance, they immediately began their reception. It's not that the saintly people have arrived, they've been loitering around with a bag and swag and what have you. And sometimes you see that people come to the temple. Okay? And they stand there, praises, and no one is looking after them. So, especially according to the nature of the saintly people, respect should be offered. But one should immediately approach them if they're coming from some distance and perhaps they're not familiar with the place. Then you should introduce them to all your friends and make sure that they have somewhere to sit. Generally, someone's traveled, even if they just come from the other side of the city, even if they live in the temple, is I just live up the road. You know, we don't just offer respect or reception to a Vaishnava that we haven't seen for a couple of years. These principles, they're executed daily to Vaishnavas. What to speak of the ones that, you know, we share, you know, our association with every day. You know, we should actually, you know, you think you'd be more inclined, more indebted, more appreciative, you know, of those personalities. Always make them feel welcome. Actually, it's described that if we approach, if we're in the company of a Vaishnava, and we haven't made them feel welcome, we're an offender. We might think, I haven't done anything. I didn't say anything to them. I didn't touch them. I haven't taken anything from them. How am I offended? But actually, according to the Vaishnava principles, if a Vaishnava is in your presence and you haven't made them feel welcome, you're immediately an offender. So, you know, that reception is, you know, making people feel welcome, you know, and then you offer the next part is offering them respect. So you see Krishna then, you know, he worships their lotus feet. Of course, you know, we don't do that to all the Vaishnavas, but there should be some, you know, offer obeisances. As it's described in Upadesamrita, nectar instruction. You know, for those, for anyone chanting the holy name of the Lord, we offer respect, which means that perhaps, like we said, some of them were not practicing Vaishnava culture at all, really strictly. We can offer them respect within our mind. Oh, they're chanting Hare Krishna, offer some respect. They're, you know, they're ordinary Vaishnava. Those who are actually Kanishkari Kari, or, you know, heading towards initiation, you know, offer obeisances. So, you know, in this way, increasing respect. Offer some practical service. So we don't just, you know, hi, love to have you here, it's great, sit down, see ya. You know, is there anything I can do for you? Is it, you know, as, you know, something practical, some service. And then to associate with them, which means to hear and discuss. So these here, you see that all those four principles, which are in our deity worship manual, which is part of sadhyaya, or, you know, an important part of deity worship in the sense of, as I said, offering respect to saintly person as part of deity worship, which is in our deity worship manual. This here is a practical exhibition by Krishna that, you know, showing himself how important this is. So important, although I'm God, you know, I will show by my personal example how important it is to implement this procedure. It's a regulative principle. Krishna is demonstrating as a very, you know, there's a whole pastime here, you know, to, it's not something that can be neglected. It is described in Vaishnava literatures of so many great acharyas. So, very, very important. We shouldn't just skip over this little bit and skip to the story. I need to say to the wife, what did they do? The reception, how they were treated, that this is the principal part of this, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam chapter. Very, very important. So, if we learn to offer respect to saintly persons, what to speak of Vaishnavas, then the service that we're doing for the deities will be very, very, very much appreciated. As I was reading this morning, that Krishna, one thing, that if we approach Krishna and we offer some service, especially if we're, you know, proper in our behaviour, you know, in all different ways, not just serving the deities and all sorts of nonsense, but in all ways, we're proper, Krishna really appreciates that. But Krishna especially appreciates that when Vaishnavas cooperate together to worship the Lord. That is really pleasing. He absolutely loves that. You see, actually, sometimes you come in, you're doing some service, you see Krishna be smiling, you look at it, bow around and be waiting. So, are there any questions or comments? Give me a couple of minutes.
I think the essential for me too, I've seen the acts of
God. Oh, you have to hear that. You have to. I won't give it all away. Too much effort to one down. That's a very, very interesting issue. Krishna goes on to speak some more things and then there's some response. So. Yes?
Well, you mentioned the term purposely envious. What is that?
Some people actually have a plan in envy that they don't like some particular Vaishnava and they want to, cause a difficulty. What they have, they don't want them to have it. You see that with Srila Prabhupada, when he wanted to give Krishna consciousness to the Westerners, that some of his godbrothers actually were quite envious and purposely tried to undermine this God, purposely. Prabhupada said again, Upadesamrita, that even a paramahansa, even a topmost devotee, as soon as they become envious, they immediately fall. Unpurposely, we all have envy, and sometimes we're jealous or. We're trying to hold back our, conditioned natures, and we're trying to, do the right thing. Sometimes, that's it, because they're conditioned natures, especially if someone is purposely envious, that's even worse. Yes?
You mentioned those four things that's really important in reception.
Yes.
Reception,
offering respect, practical service, and association. Association in the sense of hearing, hearing from others. That's how we associate. It's termed association, but it particularly means hearing. Any other questions? Well, most of our time we should be trying to associate with and serving the most advanced devotee that we can, find and associate with. Most of our time, 100%. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, 66% of our time we should spend serving the Madhyama Adhikaris, the fixed up preachers. They have firm faith, they're nicely executing devotional service, developing orbital qualities like that. And 33% of our time we spend serving, which means associating with the chemistry of characters. If we spend 100% of the time with the chemistry of characters, because it can be quite trying. It can be a little bit. Because you know, they, the conditioned adhikaris, they, in themselves, they don't know how to respect the devotee may be trying to associate with them, trying to help them become Krishna conscious, but they don't know how to offer any reciprocation, they don't know how to offer any respect back, and therefore, you know, it tests your tolerance. And of course, so, you know, you know, that shows the greatness of someone like, you know, Srila Prabhupada, who, he took the association of devotees who were, you know, Kanishka in the very beginning, and he just tolerated and just relished the association. It's such a good example. We can't imitate that, and therefore, you know, because we can't imitate that, we should always be trying to associate with devotees who are a little easier to get along with because of their maturity. Otherwise, we might, we actually find that some people leave Krishna consciousness because their association causes them so much stress because there's too much conditioned association and they actually leave. But someone on the level, you know, the topmost devotee, like Srila Prabhupada, they can associate with, you know, what to speak of Kanishkas, even among the devotees, and they're so tolerant, and they're so merciful, and they're so compassionate. We can't imitate that. And because we can't imitate that, therefore, be careful to always take association with those who, you know, it's very easy, you know, much a bit easier to become fixed. Yeah.
So when you say association, you mean through literature and
reading,
because
association basically means hearing, chanting, and serving. The active, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, the active principle of association is service. Without that, there's no real, that's not real association. And that service, especially hearing, is very, very important in association. And then practical service, and then, as we said, there's reception.
You made a very strong point about the humility and compassion to your Prabhupada. Mm. Otherwise, you could never establish this strong international religion.
Yeah.
You can drag addicts and thieves and rogues.
Yes.
All the time. Mm. But his humility and compassion.
That's exactly right.
Because he wanted to sell the Guru Maharaj. And that does not have to. Yeah. And establish strong. That's the example.
What do you think? What you're saying is so true, because you think of it from the early days where Prabhupada was there, but not for long. He was, you know, away, always establishing new temples. And so the devotees had to get along in their Kanishka, I would
say. Yeah.
Simply by virtue of Prabhupada's, the basis that he left them.
A lot of them just by taking his, in the Kanishka stage, they took so much shelter Prabhupada that allowed them to progress to the Madhyamaka Adhikari, and that's what the Kanishka Adhikari has to do.
Yeah.
They have to take shelter very firmly of the Guru, and that's, yeah, it's a fact, it's a very practical example, that's what they did. When the devotees come to the Madhyamaka Adhikari platform, the association is a lot more relishable, and it's not a regular principle, but you just can't wait to, you know, get up in the morning and, you know, go and see that Vaishnava, and, you know, they're like your friends, the people you love, you know, it's just a very warm, affectionate, you know, feeling. That's what the Madhyamaka Adhikari, it's very hard to develop that officially. Yeah.